Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Today, church, I want to make a bold declaration this morning. Is that cool? For Good Friday. It's an audacious claim from the New Testament. And it comes from Acts chapter 4, verse 12. If you can turn with me to Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There should be a scripture behind me as well. Sorry. And it says this: there is salvation in no one else. Let that sink in. There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Message version says this, I love it. Salvation comes no other way. No other name has been or will be given to us by which we can be saved. Only this one, talking about the name of Jesus. And so I want to speak to you today from the title of Jesus, the only name of salvation. The only name of salvation. Now, just a bit of context here. The disciples of Jesus have just received the Holy Spirit. They've just been filled with the fire. They've just been filled with the Holy Ghost. It says that they were in a house. They were in an upper room, and they devoted themselves to prayer. And then suddenly, everybody say suddenly. Suddenly, in chapter 2, in Acts chapter 2, a mighty rushing wind comes, fills the house, and everyone gets filled with the Holy Spirit. How awesome is that? Oh, come on. Can you imagine that? Just a mighty rushing wind. And everybody starts speaking in tongues. They be filled with the Holy Ghost. And then Peter comes up and starts preaching to the crowd. And on that day, the Bible tells us that 3,000 souls were saved. Wow. Talking about revival. That's revival right there. That's what we call a mass salvation. Amen? And then in chapter 3, we see Peter and John. Peter boy, Johnny boy, going to the temple because it was the hour of prayer. In other words, they were going to the temple because there was a prayer meeting. And as they were going to the temple, they see this lame beggar asking for money. And the Bible tells us that Peter and John looked at this beggar, and Peter said to this lame beggar, he goes, I have no silver, I have no gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And right there and then, the lame beggar was healed and started praising God. Wow, come on. I want to stir our faith and remind us that no matter what situation we may be facing, to not turn to the things of the world, but to turn to Jesus. You see, this lame beggar was thinking, okay, in order to fix my situation, I just need money. But if we turn to Jesus, he'll give us more than what we can expect. He'll give us more than we think what we need. Because let me tell you, Jesus has always been and will always be the answer. That's something that I've learned in my journey. I've learned that no matter what situation that church you may be facing, Jesus is the answer. And so Peter and John are now before the council because this lame beggar is praising God. He's just been healed. He's just been saved because of what happened. And chapter 4 tells us that the priests, the Sadducees, and the captains of the temple were greatly annoyed. greatly annoyed because Peter and John were preaching about Jesus. Have you ever been greatly annoyed before? So Peter and John, they get arrested because the Sadducees, the Pharisees, were greatly annoyed because they kept mentioning Jesus. They kept proclaiming about Jesus. How many of us know that still happens to this day? Has anyone ever felt that someone has been greatly annoyed with you just because you're a Christian? Or because you preach Jesus or you proclaim Jesus? But what I love about this scripture, that even though Peter and John got arrested, 5,000 souls were saved. Come on. I just want to encourage us. Don't let anyone stop you from preaching the gospel. Don't let anyone stop you from preaching the gospel. The Bible tells us, as a matter of fact, in Timothy, to do the work of an evangelist. We are called to evangelize. Amen. And so the next day, the council is like, explain yourself. Explain yourself, Peter boy, Johnny boy. By what power or by what name did you do this? Then verse 8 reads this in Acts chapter 4, verse 8. It's not going to be on there, but I'll read it here. Then Peter, it's always Peter. It's always him. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Something to note. Something to know, that before we say or do anything, let us be guided. Let us be led by the Holy Spirit. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means that this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And verse 12 says this, and there is no salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven among men by which we must be saved. And so Peter makes this bold declaration. And if you read the Gospels from Matthew to John, you'd know that this is something Peter would actually say, right? He makes this bold claim. He makes this bold statement, a bold proclamation, claiming that there is no other name but the name of Jesus that brings forth salvation. Only the name of Jesus. And today, church, I want to make the same declaration to you this morning. That there is no other name but the name of Jesus that brings forth salvation. Jesus is the only name of salvation. John 14, verse 6 tells us this. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 tells us this. She will bear a son, talking about Mary. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. Even at birth, the name of Jesus is tied directly to his mission of salvation. Romans 10:9 tells us this. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:13 tells us this, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. You see, it is through Jesus one receives salvation. John 3:16-17 tells us this, for God so loved the world, that's you and I, church, that he gave his only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 17, for God did not send his son to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. You see, salvation can only come through one name, and that name is Jesus. Amen. Salvation can only come through one name, and that name is Jesus. And this is only possible because God loves us. It's only possible because God loves us. For God so loved the world, church. Again, that is you and I. If I can get the band to come up. That's you and I. He loves us that much. And so we have to understand that our God is a holy God. Okay? The Bible tells us time and time again that our God is a holy God. In Leviticus, God tells Moses to tell his people to consecrate. Why? Because their God is holy. In the visions of both Isaiah and John, they get a vision of the throne room and they see the elders, the angels, and the creatures singing in the throne room, declaring, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And 1 Peter tells us in the New Testament to live a life of consecration, to live a life setting apart, to live a life of holiness. Why? Because our God is holy. And church, because God is holy, sin cannot be in the presence of the Lord. Sin cannot exist in the presence of God. As a matter of fact, His holiness demands that He be separated from sin. But how many of us know, church, Romans 3:23 tells us this, for all have sinned. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You see, the truth is that we have all sinned. All of us. We've all fell short. All of us have sinned and we are all sinners. And because of that, Isaiah tells us that our iniquities, our sins, have put a separation between us and God. Our foolishness, our wickedness, our transgressions have put a separation between us and God. And this separation is what you call spiritual death, which simply means separated from God. And Paul adds to this in Ephesians, saying, because of our transgressions and sins, we are spiritually dead. Before our encounter with Christ, we were dead. Some of us here in this room are probably like, man, who is this guy, man, telling me I'm dead? I just want hot cross buns, man. Don't worry, we'll get there. We were dead. Before encountering Jesus, before receiving His love, we were spiritually dead because of sin. But here's the good news, church. Because of God's love, because God loves us so much, His love is so great, His love is unconditional. I want to encourage us that no matter how great our sins may be, God's love is greater. God's love is greater. Romans 5:8 tells us this. God showed His love for us in that while we were still sinners, while we were still in our wicked ways, while we were still mucking around and being foolish, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Why? Because He loves us. You see, God the Father sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross so that we may be saved and be reconciled back to the Father. Amen. Amen. You see, it is through Jesus one receives salvation. Jesus alone. It is through Jesus one receives salvation. And church, this morning, as we remember that there is no other name by which we can be saved, let us also remember what God did to make that salvation possible. Because our salvation, my salvation, your salvation, cost Jesus everything. Cost Jesus everything. It cost Him His body. It cost him his blood. You see, the cross wasn't just a symbol, it was a sacrifice. And today, we don't just remember that he died today, but we also remember why he died. So we, church, can be made whole. So that our sins could be forgiven. So that we could be brought into the relationship with our Heavenly Father. So we can reclaim our sonship with the Father and restore us as children of God.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.